it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, now in stock at Armin Chevrolet. The stylish and safety packs 2026 Equinox, it has arrived. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Obviously, the Phil's the main thing. It's another do-or-die game tonight, so we ask you who's going to win tonight's game, the Phillies or the Dodgers. We also ask you, as the Flyers embark on a season tonight, season opener tonight, will the Flyers make the playoffs this year, yes or no? And Ben, I'm turning to you for question three, because Rob Thompson has a decision to make. And I don't think it's an easy one. Castellanos didn't play well last night, hasn't played great this year. Kemp struggled in game two. Who to start out there again tonight? If Bader can't go, so here's the question. If Bader can't start tonight, who should be the Phillies' third starting outfielder, along with, you know, Kepler and Marsh? Castellanos, Kemp, Sosa, or Wilson? Who should it be, Ben?
Castellanos.
Why?
Because he just doesn't care, I think, enough to let the situation take over. I think some of the younger guys, Otto Kemp, Weston Wilson, he's not younger, but, you know, he's not been in these situations before. I think the moment might be a little bit too big for them. I don't think it will be for Castellanos.
I thought it was a positive. Maybe I'm reading too much into this, Ben. I thought it was a positive looking into the dugout, watching Bryce and Schwarber interacting with Weston Wilson a lot. Like,
yeah.
Am I reading too much into this?
You are.
yes, but, I would say you are,
no,
for
I think
sure.
They were interacting with him because he's a freaking awesome dude.
Yeah.
Weston Wilson's a great guy.
You're just not used to teammates always interacting on the bench.
That's right.
John Ritchie.
That's right. There were some of John's teammates that had issues with each other. One thing that was an issue in the first two games of the Philly series was the offense. It stunk. And specifically the guys at the top of the lineup really stunk. They got it going last night. Let's listen to Rob Thompson after the game talking about those dudes.
Fourth inning there. You guys don't have a hit yet. They just took the lead. How big is that Schwarber home run? And can one swing in a short series like that kind of turn everything around?
Yeah, it could, and we'll see about the rest of the series. But, you know, certainly we had, I thought we had hit some balls hard prior to that, too. You know, some balls deep, almost to the wall, to the warning track. So we're on Yamamoto decent, but I did think we had good at bats. And, you know, the lineup woke up.
They had great at-bats. And listen, they beat a great pitcher, guys.
He did.
Dude,
right,
he's one of the best pitchers
really
in baseball this year.
He's really good.
And he wasn't last night. I mean, they got him,
man. He had two strikeouts.
Yeah.
Nine against the Reds.
Yeah, they flat got him last night. That was impressive.
My favorite moment was when he screamed right
after. Oh, you could see it. Oh, so good.
He just went off.
It was so good. The camera shot of him when he turns around, you just hear, like, you'd see him say the F word.
And so one of the big effects of the onslaught, you know, what the Phillies did late in the game, really tacking on a ton of runs, was Duran did not have to pitch. Not Kevin Durant, right? I'll make sure.
Duran
did not have to pitch. Let's listen to Rob Thompson after the game on that topic.
Going into eighth, was it your plan to get six outs from Duran? And if so, how big was that offensive outburst in saving him potentially for tomorrow?
Yeah, that's what we were going to do, especially starting at bats, I believe. We started in the eighth. Once we added on, went to Kirk, and Kirk threw the ball great, so... Yeah, it'd save Duran for tomorrow.
All right, so in full candor and disclosure, let me say, if the Phillies' lead had not been extended in the top of the eighth, I would have wanted Ranger kept in there so you can go one inning of Ranger, one inning of Duran, and more Duran today.
Me too. Right? At least I would have given Ranger a shot.
Yeah, I'm with you. But look, it all worked out. You didn't have to use Duran. He got up in the bullpen a little bit, but that shouldn't impact tonight too much.
How many pitches did Ranger end up
72.
With?
Which
so
I think, John, five.
He could pitch on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Can you get two innings out of him Saturday, Ben?
100%.
Can you get three? Two,
now you're being greedy.
Yeah,
two, right?
I would say at least two.
Yeah.
I'd say two.
Jason, are your kids into this? Are they too young, or are they...
They're way too young. Baseball is a tough one to get them. Really, any sports. Unless there's like cartoon characters running around playing. It's very difficult.
I love it.
They love chants. My daughter loves the Eagles chant. That's been like an intro.
They love mascots.
Yes, they love chants, they love mascots, fanatic. All that. Exactly. Yeah.
That's so good. All right, let's get to Jordan right now. Jordan, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. And good morning to Jason Kelce, the man with a heart of a champion. I feel a game five first pitch coming on from Jason Kelce. Ooh. I don't need any Miles Teller. I'm not a high school girl or a house mom or anything like that. I don't need that.
We love Miles Jason Teller Kelce on this show.
That's great.
I feel it was always going to be Phillies in five, and now maybe it'll be Phillies in five. Jason, last time I spoke to you, we kind of traded barbs about you coming to my wife's bar class.
Yeah.
Scoping out some of the other attendees. Like, that's an open invitation, man. We make some good social media off of that if you're interested.
It sounds like a good time to me.
I tell you, she teaches hard, and there's a lot of nice-looking women in there. Can we talk about the game last night?
He's a taken man, Jordan.
Yeah. Really, that's where not.
Won't even notice him.
Well played.
Everybody looks. Joe looks. Amy from Villanova looks the other way. We're all good. We're good. Only are the Phillies, when you're winning, do you feel like you're losing still? Because that game was 3-1. And I honestly felt like we were losing as we squandered opportunities with two guys on base and no outs two times in a row. So I'm just so glad that this morning that and Tapper mismanaging the game aren't the storyline.
He didn't mismanage the game. How did he mismanage the game?
No, he's saying it wasn't the storyline.
No, he didn't.
He did not. Okay, good.
He was happy it wasn't the storyline is what
I'm sorry. No, I got you.
Yeah, that is not what I wanted. I was hoping that the pitching decision would work out. I was hoping that the lineup decisions would work out, and they did. So it really gives me hope that this team made the right decisions, and the people that I questioned as potentially being frauds, the top of the lineup, stepped up in a big way, including, Trey and Schwarber had career playoff nights last night.
Yeah.
So to go from where we were in the first two games of the series to where we are today, it's either the reason you should never watch sports or the reason you do watch sports. I'm not really sure.
All right, Jordan, we got you. Listen, it puts your heart on a roller coaster. I mean, the last just 24 hours. I mean, John, the nature of our program yesterday compared to the nature of our program today.
I felt betrayed yesterday. I was so in my feelings. I was so upset. I mean, like, downtrodden. Inconsolably so, and then it's like the only thing that could console any of us.
They went out and they did it, and they
proved that they could do it decisively.
Yeah, you know, the first two games were
neck and neck. Like, we don't even have to make this close, guys. Yeah. This team can explode.
Well, so can the Dodgers.
I don't think with Chris, with this pitcher on the mound, I don't think that's happening.
Well, I think Sanchez will do a great job on it. Here's what I'll say about the series at large. Obviously, the Phillies can win it, and hopefully they do, and we'll know in the next few days whether they got it done or not. But if they lose the series, I'll still point to games 1 and 2 and say that's where they blew it. Because I think they had moments where they blew it. So they're not out of the woods on
but
that front.
I think this is Rocky III, second time he's fighting Clubber Lang.
Rocky III
he's
now.
Not getting killed. He's getting angry. That's what those first two games were.
He can
we just
you.
Took a couple shots. Lots of shots from Clubber Lang.
He'll now kill you, Rocky.
Yeah. Problem is, Clubber Lang killed Mickey,
killed Mickey, literally
killed him.
Yeah.
Jason, I've had this theory. It's manslaughter. It's not murder. He pushes people. They knock into Mickey. Mickey falls. He dies like 30 minutes later.
Yeah, you don't take into account that they let him sit in the back room instead of going to the hospital for like an hour or whatever. Like, could have lived if they had taken him to freaking the hospital.
Yeah, bad
Mickey's
there.
Like, no, I got to stay here for the fight. Okay.
Bad medical care. All right, let's listen to Rob Thompson after the game. Boy, he was criticized a lot, and I don't think anybody was louder about it than I was. And he flat out nailed it. It worked. The Nola thing to the Ranger thing worked. It flat out worked. Major props to Rob Thompson. Let's listen to Topper after the game speaking on the criticism.
You've taken a lot of criticism the last three seasons, including this one.
I have?
Yes. For some of the decisions you've made, and they haven't worked out. So the way the guys played as well. Have you felt that pressure going into, especially tonight, which was an elimination game? And has it affected you at all?
I don't think so. You know, I think that's part of this job, is that you make decisions, you plan it out. It's not like we're throwing stuff up in the air, but you plan it out. If it doesn't work, then yeah, there's criticism there. That's just part of the gig. It really is.
So I totally respect the answer. Jason, you were criticized at times, and your team was criticized a lot. When you are heavily criticized and come through it with the W or the big W,
That's a good feeling.
Right? Gotta be.
No, it is. It's a very good feeling. They're not out of it yet. You know, he's not on cloud nine yet, but if they do come out of this on top,
yeah,
that is a damn good feeling. You know, I think that any athlete that's been through the ringer and been through the ups and downs and been questioned, and you've and I'm sure it's the same for coaches and anybody else, but yeah, it's and it's a credit to how he's handled it too. I really respect Topper and how he's managed a lot of the criticism and how he responds in the media. I know it may not be what everybody wants. They might want a more emotional response at times, but I really do appreciate his temperament a lot, and I think that I'm really rooting for him, and I hope they go all the way, win the.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whole thing,
yeah,
and he gets in a mummer suit and
can you imagine?
That'd be great. Yeah.
Put that video up on social media sites, yeah. Right?
Some clown named Mike Lombardi.
I'm so with you, dude. Love it. Hey, react to last night's game. Obviously, it was a thrilling victory. How it sounded with both Scott Fransky and Tom McCarthy doing play by play last night. We'll play you the montage of all that went on last night, the notable moments in the game. We'll get to that probably coming up at about 8 o'clock today. So a tremendous montage with thrilling victory. That's up ahead in a few minutes. 215-592-9494, your chance to weigh in today on a tremendous victory last night for Philadelphia sports. Let's get to Patrick in Tabernacle. Patrick, good morning.
Let's go, Flyers!
Hold on. I got it ready, Patrick. Here we go. Start of the season.
Yo, can you imagine Jason Kelsey on ice skates for the Flyers?
Would not go well. Yeah.
Yeah, listen, I got a trifecta tonight going. I don't know how I'm gonna do this. Flyers, Bills, and Eagles. You know, but holy cow. The Phillies are just they're killing us here. They're making it difficult for us with just, man, exciting game. It's exactly what guys like me and the rest of us were saying, like our big boys need to be big boys, and boy, they showed up.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Patrick, you know who hasn't been a big boy as a hitter?
Bryce Harper.
Shohei Ohtani.
Oh yeah,
he's been the small. He's been
good.
Give me Rich's head. Give me Rich's head.
Don't poke the bear, as they say.
But of the six guys that are like Freeman
too.
I know, I'm including Freeman because like the six historic guys.
Freeman's been as bad as Ohtani though.
Okay, fine. Then
he's not anything,
then
right?
Those two have been the worst of the six main dudes. You know, those two have been the worst.
Bryce is cocked and loaded though right now, man. Like he hasn't.
So. He's ready to roll. Yeah. Let it un.
Yeah.
Furl. Yep.
Even the walk in the first inning I thought was a really good at-bat from Bryce. Yeah. Goes down, battles back, got the walk. We haven't seen those at-bats from him until last night.
I agree. That was such a great sign. What do you guys think about the bunt to start the game?
The bunt? It seemed like I hated it. Every time he was up yesterday.
No, you're talking about Trey. I thought it was, I'm not confident in getting a hit.
Yeah.
And it scared the hell out of me.
That's how it came off to me.
Yeah. Right, Ben?
Yeah.
I don't know. Bunts are tough. When they work, they're great. When they don't, you know, but I don't know. It was something different.
So Trey tried one and Stott tried two?
Yeah, well.
Yep. No, Stott just had the one.
Yeah, Stott had a sack.
Stott had the sack bunt that moved him to second and third.
Turner was
the first at bat of the game. Yeah. Turner bunted out.
Now, to be fair, Patrick, to Turner, and I didn't like it, but to be fair, you do that sometimes against a great pitcher because you think it is your way to get on. Like, take Ben Davis when he bet against...
That's 100% why I bet against Schilling.
When Ben Davis broke up a no-hitter in the ninth... Yeah. You know the story,
when
Jason?
When he broke the rules of Major League Baseball, the unwritten rules.
Unwritten rules.
Tell Jason what happened.
It was the eighth inning, I think.
I thought it was seventh. Maybe
seventh
like
inning. And Curt Schilling had a perfect game. And there was one out in the seventh inning. And I came up and I saw that Jay Bell, the second baseman, was playing basically shallow right field.
Yeah.
And I said, all I got to do is get this bunt past Schilling.
Yeah.
And it was 2-0 at the time, 2-0. So if I get on, I bring the tying run to home plate.
Okay.
So he threw me a little breaking ball, and I just brought it with me, and I made it to first base easily, broke up the perfect game, broke up the no-hitter.
Broke up a rule. Broke up a rule.
Did anybody else get a hit?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
So it would have ended regardless. Like,
yeah.
Does Schilling hold this against you?
No, he said, I don't hold it against Bob Brenly did, their manager.
It was a national story.
Yeah. Wow. Huge
and
story.
And people still talk about it to this day. And this happened in 2001, I think it was.
Even though other people got hits afterwards.
Yes.
So it wouldn't have been a perfect game regardless.
They don't know that.
They don't know
that's
that,
the idea.
But,
if you didn't give that hit to Schilling pitch differently, like, who knows?
But my quote after the game.
Butterfly effect.
Yeah, my quote after the game was, did you see my first two at-bats? You really think I would have gotten a hit by swinging?
Well, that brings it back to the Trey point.
If it was 6-0, I wouldn't have done it. But I brought the tie. And the guy who was behind me, Bubba Trammell, hit 25 homers that year.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, I'm just trying to get – this was in May, you know, and it was I still took a lot of heat for it.
If rules are meant to be broken, what are unwritten rules meant to be?
That's right.
not written
at all,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, let's get to Nick right now. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Great, Nick. How about you?
Listen, I woke up singing like Fred Rogers, man. I tell you what, I feel great about tonight. I really do. And the one thing I got to give to Topper is that, he went with the Rays strategy, I guess, that they made it popular to go off the bullpen in a way. And he made it a bullpen game. And it was a ballsy move, and it worked out for him.
Well, and, I'm going to give you a yes and no on that. I mean, the Rays would start an actual reliever. The Phillies started an actual starter.
You're right, Joe.
So I really wouldn't call it a bullpen game. If anything, I'd call it a not bullpen game. Nick, the whole point was to use Nola for two innings instead of Strom, Kirkren, and Robertson for two innings. It was actually trying to avoid the bullpen, and it worked. And listen, I was very, very critical of Rod Thompson. Props to him. He got it right. And by the way, for all my criticism of the decision going in, there was a worthwhile point within his point. The Strom, Robertson, Kirkering thing had failed them in game one. It was something to avoid. And by the way, I'll add on to this. If they get to the next round and are back in a similar situation, I think most people in the Delaware Valley now will say, yeah, let's do it that way with Nola for two or three innings and then Ranger.
No question.
You know?
Well, if they get to the next round, God willing, they do. They're going to need. They're going to need a four star.
My fault.
They're going to need a four star.
You're right. My fault.
I think it scared me though because like thinking like he wasn't going to bring Suarez. I'm like, if you're not going to start Suarez game three, I'm like, then why didn't you use him game one or two? But then the plan worked out, and I guess that's it, right? But another thing I like to say is that the big three hit last night. You know, they went what 7 for 13, two home runs, and like five RBIs or something like that. And it
indeed.
Was. And you know, if they don't, as good as we can talk about Topper, managers, bullpens, and pitchers, if they don't hit, we lose. It's that simple. If they don't hit, we lose.
Yep. Yep.
And they showed up, and I feel good about tonight. I feel good about the Birds, and let's go fighting, baby. Let's do it.
All right, Nick. Appreciate the call. We'll zap that one.
No, that was a PH.
I don't know what.
It was like
Phil. We weren't sure.
Jason, he was spelling it the other way.
I love it.
That's awesome. That's what we'll tell the FCC.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go to John right now.
It's a pun, FCC.
John, good morning.
What's up? How you doing?
Great, John.
Totally psyched, man.
I'm pumped, man. I'm more pumped for the Eagles, though. I'm a big Eagles guy. I love the Phillies, but the Eagles, just I hope they get rolling, man. I really, really love the Eagles. Jason Kelce, you're one of my favorite Eagles ever. And I'm not going to go too much into that, but thank you for everything you did, man.
I really
appreciate everything you did.
No, thank you.
I'm in Seattle all the time. I always see your
your
fundraisers and everything. I live in Ocean City. I go to Ocean City High School. I'm a senior. I'm 18. So
that's
just,
awesome.
Yeah, big, good stuff.
And, you play?
Yeah, I play quarterback at Ocean City High School.
That's awesome. I've been to that field, man. That's great.
It's a cool setup.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing this year?
We're 3-3. We're fighting, but we'll be all right.
Yeah, what kind of offense you run?
Like a spread pro style offense.
Wow, you got a gun?
A little bit.
What do you run on the 40?
Like a 4.7, 4.8.
That's all right. Nice.
Yeah, man.
Good job.
There we go.
Good luck.
Yeah. So yeah, but I'm really excited for the Eagles. Obviously they're missing like four big stars on defense, and they're missing Mekhi Becton. He was the anchor on our line last year. Mm-hmm. So like I really just feel like we got to get Saquon going if we want to really get the season to go how we want it to go.
Well, listen, I think we all agree with you, John. Good luck with your football stuff, man. That's great. So, Jason, the offense has been clunky.
Oh, very much. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody would disagree with that. And they've had halves where they've looked really good and other halves where it's been, I mean, I forget the stat, but the 3-and-out stat is, I think it's the worst in all of the NFL.
Meaning the most?
Yeah, it
is
the worst.
There's a higher percentage of 3-and-outs specifically with the Eagles. And those are
worse in a long time, apparently.
Wow.
Those in particular are like devastating. Like to go out there over and over. Now, this past week, I did think the offense was much better. I thought the run game was a lot better. They had a bunch of, like in the second half, I know there's some 3-and-outs, but a lot of those were penalty and like self-inflicted where the play calls seemed like they were more there from a run game and a passing game this last week, at least when I was watching it.
Yep.
You know, they had a 7-yard run in the second half that gets called back because of a holding call. Brett Toth. They have a toss crack that's probably a 20-yard run. I mean, it is down the sideline that gets called back because of a false start on A.J. Then they missed the deep shot the next play to A.J. The big play to Devontae gets called back because of the double motion.
Right.
So, like, there was a lot of stuff that was there. I thought the offense got back to a lot of the things that they've had success with in the past. They got back to some of these RPOs that help control the backside and really make defending the run difficult against the Philadelphia Eagles, right? The offensive line and Saquon have gotten a lot of credit for the run game operating within Philadelphia. I've said this for years. The person that has never gotten enough credit, and they only think of him in his passing statistics, is Jalen Hurts. Using him as a threat, either in the RPO game or the read game, opens up run lanes. And they need to continue to do that at a higher percentage, and they've done it to start the season. And they got back to it last week, and some holes opened up. I anticipate that they'll continue to utilize that aspect moving forward, and that should get the running game going. Now, Landon Dickerson going down,
yeah,
really difficult. He's the best run blocker on the team, in all honesty, and he was struggling to start the season coming off of the injury. I thought last week, before he went down with the ankle injury, he looked fully back. Like, he looked great. He was mirroring guys well. He was moving people in the run game. Yeah. So it's really unfortunate. I just the guy is such a warrior, and then all of a sudden he goes down with another one. So, I still am optimistic, though. I think they're finding more of that identity of what they have been in the ground game before with Jalen Hurts. And I think that'll help them moving forward.
So the Eagles and Giants tonight, for everyone to know, that game's right here on WIP. That's an 8:15 kickoff. Merrill and Mike, obviously, on the call. That's on WIP. Now, for the Phillies game, which will be Fransky and Kevin Stocker with Tom McCarthy coming in for a couple innings of play-by-play, that game will be on two different Odyssey stations, KYW 103.9 FM, and also on 1210 AM, as the Phils go back to their roots on 1210 AM, where, I mean, Rhea, decades upon decades.
Listen to it, yeah.
I mean, come on.
You know what was always cool about it? You could be at night sometimes in like several states away, and you could pick it up.
I remember my freshman year in college in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I remember hearing it. It was a thrill to hear. I don't remember if it was Harry or Andy Musser or Wheels or who it was, but you're right. So 1210 AM tonight for the Phils game. So make sure if you want to listen on the radio to either game, you know where to find it. We just told you. All right.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.